Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment, where we talk a little bit about what you can expect from today's episode, a little update in the market, things you got to know, and a little update from what's happened in my personal life in the last week. Well, before I get into this guest, please remember on Apple and Spotify to give us 5 stars and then leave us a review. Let us know what your biggest takeaway was, maybe a guest or topic that we should discuss. And at random, in the recap, every single week, we read the reviews from the week prior and we give something away to one listener of the Money Mafia. So remember to subscribe and remember to give us 5 stars. Now let's get into this week's guest, Carly Waddell. Now you might remember Carly Waddell from Bachelor in Paradise. She got married to Evan. If you don't recall her from the Bachelor franchise or you've never come across her, what you should know is that her career track is just amazing. She went to Tisch School of Business, which is one of the most prestigious music colleges in the entire country. We're going to talk about what it was like to go there, who was in her class. You will not believe who Carly went to school with at Tisch School of Music. You're not going to believe it. We also talk about what it's like trying to get into that career. Well, she started singing in cruise lines. We talk about what she was paid to sing in cruise lines. We talk about how she ended up on The Bachelor. And actually, it was a result of her brother being on The Bachelor, which I didn't know until interviewing her. And then all the stops in between. And now, another wild detour. She is going on tour with Nick Carter. So you're going to hear all about the stops, all about the money, all about the people that she's come across. You're going to hear about her wedding that was on Bachelor in Paradise. And she even shares how much she was paid for that televised wedding. So there's a whole lot of action. I'm so excited for you to get to listen to this episode and get to see a Carly you haven't seen before. Now, a little bit going on in the market. Last week was a roar. The markets were up big. The Dow Jones was up 5.1%. The S&P 500 was up 5.9%. The NASDAQ was up 6.6%. You might ask yourself why. Well, the two big reasons was the jobs report and the Federal Reserve announced that it's holding interest rates steady. So they just had their meeting October 31st and November 1st, and they are leaving the federal funds at a target rate of 5.25 to 5.5%. It's the third time in the last 4 meetings that they have left rates steady. So essentially what that means is if rates are going to stay steady, the cost to companies and people will stay steady. If it goes up, then the profitability within these companies goes down. So because they're keeping it steady, the market rallied, which is a good sign. So what else should you know? There is a whole lot of discussion around spending. We're seeing that American consumers are getting much better with quarter four spending because they are spreading their spending out throughout the year, and they are actually planning well in advance for quarter four in the holiday season of buying gifts well in advance because of the deals. Now, the National Retail Federation is projecting that November and December retail sales this year will advance between 3 and 4% slower than the past 3 years. So that's an interesting statistic as we think about consumer spending and going into the fourth quarter. It looks like it will be slower. We'll see if their projections are correct. Little update from my personal life right now. It is Sunday. I am in Austin, Texas. And I am in Austin, Texas because we just had Chris Harrison's wedding celebrations this weekend. It was so much damn fun. I honestly was smiling ear to ear for 48 hours straight, had just the best time with a lot of Bachelor Nation that I haven't seen or spoken to in a while. And how it worked is Friday, we actually went over to Chris's house. He had all people from the Bachelor franchise there. Gosh, his house is beautiful. Oh my goodness gracious. It is just an absolute work of art. And who was there? So on Friday, you had Trista, JoJo, Becca Tilly, and Haley. Ashley and Jared, Jared and Tanner, you had Colton and Jordan, Ben and Jess, Wells and Sarah Hyland, Alon and Molly, they were there Saturday, they missed Friday, Sean and Catherine were there Saturday, they missed Friday, Ari and Lauren, and Tayshia was there, and I don't think I'm missing anybody, but if I am, I'm so sorry. It was so much fun to see everyone. Oh, and of course, yes, I'm missing a big person. Caitlin was there. Oh, man. So, but it was, you know, Caitlin, and I haven't seen Caitlin since I moved out and haven't talked to her really over the phone much. So this was the first time Caitlin and I saw each other. And we just immediately went right up to each other. We hugged each other, broke the ice. It was good. And everything was great. The whole weekend, with every single one of those people, Caitlin included, It was fun. There were great deep conversations. It was so healthy. And it was just, everyone was so focused on the celebration of Lauren and Chris, which was beautiful. I just got goosebumps thinking about it. Their vows were just so special. And I was crying and everyone there was crying. And it was just like, it was really just a beautiful ceremony of pure happiness and two people that have gone through a lot, right? Like, Dave, relationship-wise, they've gone through a lot. Chris has been divorced. Lauren has been divorced. And to see through adversity and through life challenges, these two people just find their soulmate was so, so cool to be a part of. And yeah, it's Sunday. I feel so refreshed from this weekend. And it was so good to see everyone, and especially Caitlin. We had such great conversation, such healthy conversation. And so I can't wait for this week. And I hope everyone has a great week themselves. But enough of me. Enough of National Retail Federation updates and forecasts for 2024. We got to get into this episode of Trading Secrets. One you can't afford to miss with the one and only Carly Waddell. Let's ring in the bell. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, I am joined by Bachelor Nation fan favorite turned singer-songwriter, Carly Waddell. Many of you know Carly from her time on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, not once, but twice. What you may not know is that Carly comes from a long history of singing and songwriting, where she even toured the world as a headliner for the cruise industry before being discovered by producers of the Bachelor franchise. While Carly took a break from music to see through her experience in Bachelor Nation, raising her young kids, and eventually going through a very public divorce, Carly has more recently jumped back into the music world, releasing her first debut EP here in 2023. We are going to listen and learn about life in the music industry, her experiences within reality TV, and how she exemplifies that no matter how old you are or how difficult life moments are going, you can get through it. You can still follow your dreams wherever you want if you have the drive to do so. Carly, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
My gosh, that was an incredible intro.
Yeah, a little pat on the back. We'll just like record that. And if you're having a bad day, just listen and be like, look at what I've done. I am crushing the
game.
I'm
doing okay.
Yeah, you're killing it. Thanks. And I think what's cool is that when I did all the research on you, Carly, and I'm thinking about where you are and what you've done and where you are today, but it's all derived from a place that was like exactly what you were doing. I read that, and tell me if this is right, I read that you went to Tisch Music at NYU.
I did.
When I read that, I go, holy shit. For anyone that's listening right now, it is no joke. It is like the top tier people across the country, and so many people try to get into that school.
Yes.
You got in, so you knew from day one that music was going to be somewhere in your life.
Yeah, so I did musical theater since I was like probably six. Okay. And then in high school, you know, I was like the lead in all the musicals and stuff. So I wanted to do Broadway. That was like my thing. I wanted to be on Broadway. I was like, I got to go to New York. So yeah, it was like a very rewarding experience, but I only stayed for a year because I just like was not ready for New York City.
It's a lot.
Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've lived there a lot after that, but at that time it was pretty overwhelming.
Okay. And that's when you transferred to, was it Oklahoma?
Yes.
Okay. And you got a degree in musical theater.
And I still didn't get a degree.
You didn't get, okay. All right.
I stayed for a year and a half and then I started getting jobs singing and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I paying to go to school to learn how to sing when I'm already singing?
Yeah.
And people are paying me for it. And then from that, I kind of started cruise ships and all the things.
Okay. I want to get into cruise ships before I do. My brother owns a marketing agency where he works with all the Broadway shows. Mm-hmm. So like they design the logos and all the digital media. Like, and even actually what's interesting is with the Tony Awards, how much money producers will spend for marketing when it's Tony season that their show was nominated, because apparently it's a very subjective process when they pick the Tony Award winner, and how much marketing spend and where your marketing dollars are. Just saying that you are a Tony nominee, that's a trading secret, is massive. So that's it. And that's a huge process of actually getting the award, the marketing behind when you're nominated, which is nuts.
Yeah.
But we went to an off-Broadway show. It's called Titanic.
And I wanted to see
it. It is so good.
I almost went to that and then I went to Shucked instead.
Okay, and Shucked. So he works on Shucked.
Oh,
hilarious.
Really?
Another really good one. But when I saw the talent at an off-Broadway show, I was talking to him. This was our dinner conversation after. I was like, these people can sing, act, dance at a level that I've never seen. And so they still haven't made Broadway.
I know.
So that's how competitive this industry is. Was there ever a point where you're like, even before the cruise ships, you're like, it's just too competitive. I can't do it.
You know, I've struggled with that, I think, probably, well, my whole life. Maybe not so much when I was young, When I was young, I would like cut class and go to auditions because I was going to get the part. But then I think probably when I went to New York, I started being like, oh, I don't know. Like there's so many good people. And I will say in Cap 21, I was still one of the top people. So I wasn't.
Cap 21, what is this?
That's the musical theater studio.
Okay.
Within Tisch. There's like 60 people that are let in per year. Also, I was one of those 60 with Lady Gaga. We were the two people that dropped out.
Wait,
at
no
same
way.
Time.
So you were you were in class with Lady Gaga? Like you know Lady Gaga?
Yes, but then she was Stephanie.
What was Stephanie like in class?
I was not a fan.
No way.
This is why, because she was so talented. But so like,
let it out, Carly.
This is okay, some tension. Here we go. Trading secrets. Here we go. Here's a secret. So Stephanie used to during lunch. She would play on the piano. There's a piano because you would eat just in like a dance studio.
Yeah.
And she would sit at the piano every single day and just play and sing Wicked at the top of her lungs every day.
Okay.
And we were all just trying to eat lunch.
It was like break time.
It was break time. And we were all like forced to listen to her. And yes, was she good? Of course. She was great. But I just wanted to eat my sandwich, you know?
Interesting.
And so I used to just eat in the hallway.
Did everyone?
Because she was driving me crazy.
She's kind of, if you like compare it to people back home that are working in an office setting or like maybe we're, I don't know, they're a nurse or a teacher. It's like that person who's just like so extra. Like
she's so
always
extra.
Putting in the extra hour, always like, yes. So, like that's how
she would wear these
was.
Really tight leotards and she had really big boobs back then. And her boobs are just like coming out.
Was she noticeably in your, so was ridiculous. She like noticeably though, like way better than everybody? Like,
no,
she wasn't like Wayne Gretzky to hockey, LeBron to basketball. She wasn't in that group, that person?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, she was one of the good ones, but I would never be like, she was the so above.
Interesting.
But now she's so above.
All right. So then, all right. And I'll get off this in a second. I'm just so intrigued. How do you think someone who was, let's just say, in like the top 10%, because you have to be in the top 10% to be in this group, then go to maybe the best ever in the world? What do you think she had done between your time in studying with her versus where she is today? Like, how do you make that
jump? I don't know. I mean, she started, you know, doing her own music way before she was doing musical theater stuff. And when she played at the talent show, the NYU talent show, she was singing her own stuff. And I was like, you can't argue that girl's really good.
Yeah.
And I would definitely say she was better. She was good at everything, but she was better at her own stuff. She was down at the piano, like wailing her own tunes. Now I'm like, God, what was she singing? I wish I could remember.
Right? Or had a video of it or something.
She's like, no. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what she did, but she's a genius.
All right. Well, Carly is a fan of her music, a fan of her talent, maybe not a fan of her personally.
I wasn't her fan of her at that moment.
At that moment.
You know, but I was not my best at that moment either. I think we both dropped out of the program because we didn't love the program. And I'm sure she was just as unhappy in it as I was, or she would have stayed. So,
have you ever talked to her since?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
So,
but I remember sitting and we both had to like go to the, you know, president's office or whatever to like talk about dropping out or whatever, and we were sitting there together and she's like, so what's your deal? And I was like, it's not a program for me. She's like, yeah, no, me either. Terrible.
Interesting. I would make the bet she knows who you are. Like, she remembers you, because I can remember like kindergarten. I remember every person. Like, Lady Gaga knows Carly, period.
Yeah, and I feel like she's really smart, so why would you?
Maybe you should like reconnect with her. Well, do your next single.
My next single is just Lady Gaga. Yeah, I just go straight to the top.
Could you imagine? That'd be amazing. All right, well, that's cool. Trading secrets I didn't expect to get. But you then find your way and you get recruited by a cruise line to be a headline singer. How does that, like, how do you land a cruise line gig in the music industry?
Okay, so I was singing at this theater in Savannah called the Savannah Theater.
Okay.
It's one of the oldest theaters in America that's still up and running. But my friend Rachel, who has been my friend since we sang at Six Flags in Texas, she was offered a position because she had done cruise ships before. And she said, I can't do it because I'm staying in the show. But I was only in it for 6 months to cover a pregnant person. So she was like, my friend can probably do it. And I just made what they call a reel, which is just, you know, all clips of you singing. So I did one and was hired like the next day.
Okay. Trading secrets. We talk career money. Got to ask, what are you paid to sing on a cruise ship? How's that work?
Depends on if you're like a singer or a dancer.
Okay.
Dancers make less money, but there's more of them. Okay. With singers, there's usually four. So there's like the head singer and then the singer dancer. Usually that's how it works.
Okay.
Two males, two females. So one thing I did learn about negotiating pay was I was working where I said I was understudying someone from Broadway. Yes. I was working like a summer stock theater. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my friends who was a dancer, we were talking about money and he was like, oh, I'm paid whatever. I can't even remember what it was. And I was like, wait a second. Yeah. I'm understudying someone. I'm like one of the leads in one show and whatever. And you're getting paid more than me. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I just negotiated. And I was like, okay. Mm. And so I was like, got it. So then when I went to the Savannah Theater, I negotiated for more money. And then on cruise ships, I was asking my friend, like, what did you make? And I was like, no, I'm not making that.
Yeah.
I'll ask for more.
Yeah.
So then every cruise ship, I just kind of kept asking for more. By the last cruise ship, I was making $5,000 a month.
Okay.
But I also was, you know, in my early 20s and I had no
expenses.
No expenses at all.
Okay. So you make $5,000 a month. How many shows do you have to do?
Depends on the ship. Okay. But my two of the ships, we had three shows each.
Okay.
But usually you only end up doing two of those shows. Sometimes they'll throw in like a show that you haven't done in months and you're like, well, I don't even remember this show.
Right. And then room, pay, food, all that.
Everything's
okay.
Yeah.
So that was like at the end of your cruise ship experience, around 5K with the low end. What was it like two and a half? Like,
I probably started at like 3,500 or something. Okay. And then by the end, okay, I was just negotiating more. But also with those things, I also would never take, like, I need my space. And so like dancers have to share a room.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'll never take a contract where I have to share a room. I just know myself.
Okay. Would you, if someone's thinking about this, they see it, they hear it, they're looking for a change, they have the ability, would you recommend?
Oh yeah.
So you would fully endorse that career?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I left at the perfect time when I needed to leave for like just my sanity, my mental health. But you can see the world for free and sing and meet people and hang and just, it's fantastic.
Interesting. Okay. Another thing I didn't know about you, Carly, I learned so much prepping about you, is that your brother was also on The Bachelor. So he was on Bachelorette, I thought it was season 9 or something.
He was on Desiree season.
Desiree season.
Yes.
Is that how the show found you?
Yes. So it was actually my last cruise ship. My brother's so ridiculous. He's like my best friend, but we used to, at that time it was Skype. Everybody Skyped each other to see each other. And one day he called me on the ship and he's like, I need to Skype with you. And he was like, hey, I heard about this audition for this show called The Bachelor. And I think I'm going to do it. And I was like, you should do it. And he's like, what do I do? And I was like, I don't know. Just be yourself. Yeah. And so my brother is just such a ham. So he walks in with a crab costume on.
Okay.
And he starts singing Under the Sea. And he like does it very well.
He's a singer
well,
too.
Well, he's like yes, but no. He's never done it professionally. Yeah. But he's just such a ham. And so anyway, he got on the season and then started filming when I was on the ship.
Okay.
And so I got home 4 days or something before hometown dates.
Okay.
And so I had not seen him in like almost a year. It had been like 9 months. Mm-hmm. And then he got kicked off when they met us. Okay. We ruined it for him.
So that was your first exposure to the show?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, they asked my mom to like talk to this girl. And she's like, I can't do it. I'm too nervous. Because I guess this girl was like, I think Zach and I are just friends. And like, we don't know if we can break through the friend zone. And I was like, I'll talk to her about it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Be like, what? You're making the wrong choice. If you just want him as a friend.
Producers were like, that's a girl.
And then they were like, we like her. And so then they asked me to do the next season. They were actually choosing between like, you know, a couple of people. And my brother was in the running. So I went to, you know, the final casting or whatever. And they're like, would you date your brother? I was like, no. And then they were like, would you be like wear a fake nose or something and walk around and like be with the girls? And I was like, yeah, maybe. But then it ended up being Juan Pablo. And Juan Pablo is my brother's best friend from the show. But like Juan Pablo and I do not get along.
Okay.
We are no. And so I was like, I'm not doing it.
What did something happen?
No, we just like.
You just don't like his vibe.
I don't like his vibe.
Does he know you don't like his vibe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. But and he just always has an opinion about the things that I do. And I'm like, I'm not your little sister. Don't tell me what to do. Anyway, so I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And they said, and my brother was mad. He was like, you should do it. You're never going to get an opportunity again. I was like, watch me. And then they were like, if you ever want to come back on and you see a bachelor that you like or whatever, let us know. And so Crystal's was on Good Morning America. And I was like, I have to get on the show. And they were like, all right.
All right. So that's how they found you. You get on the show. At this time, are you working at the cruise line?
I was done with the cruise ships. Okay. Honestly, I left cruise ships. And I do feel like this is on like a manifesting thing, sort of. Because I left cruise ships because I was like, I want a life. I want a family. Sure. I want a husband. Like, I want to find someone, and I'm not going to have that life if I choose to do this. There's so many people who sing on cruise ships that are just
lifers.
Old and alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be old and alone. I want to have a family.
Yeah.
And so I left for that. So when The Bachelor came into my life, it really was the thing that I wanted, you know? And social media was not around then.
Right.
I was doing it because I wanted to fall in love.
So the intention of going on that show, well, the whole idea of getting a fame and potentially career boost from being on The Bachelor has been around since 2000. But the idea of getting a social media platform, that wasn't a discussion during
when
you were on the show.
It honestly was like something that was just starting sort of when my brother was on the show.
Yeah.
But then when we went on, I remember afterwards being like, what is happening? Because we had to turn off our Instagram. Like my Instagram is Carly Wadd now. It used to be Carly Waddell, but they made us
turn it off.
And then I could never even get my name back.
Isn't that interesting? And now they're doing collabs with like GMA and stuff.
It's crazy.
So like where before we weren't even allowed to say we were ever associated with the show. Yeah. They would never tag us or anything.
I know.
Now you got like Good Morning America doing collabs, trying to promote everyone's Instagram.
So it's so
changed
bizarre.
Dramatically.
It's very strange.
So you end up going on the show. One thing I got to ask you about, Money Mafia, that's the listening crew. They send in tons of questions.
Okay.
Some of the questions are very specific. Like, I want to know the alimony. Did she negotiate prenup? They're very business and technical. Some of them are just like gossipy, and I try to stay away from those. But one thing I want to at least ask you about, because you mentioned Juan Pablo, and this is easy. Huh. I'm not going to get into it because I don't know much about it. But people were asking. Actually, I'm going to give him a shout out. You know Zachary Reality? Zachary Reality's on TikTok.
He's
like the new reality guy. Anything comes out, he's on it. He sent the question in.
Oh God.
He wanted to know the status of you and Britt, and you guys had some feuds.
God.
Like, is that a thing?
Yes, but oh God, that was so long ago. It's funny to even talk about.
Is it like even a thing in 2023?
No!
Yeah, and all I know about Britt is that her and Caitlin were competing to be the Bachelorette.
No!
I don't know anything else.
You know, here's the thing. There was so much behind the scenes that no one else sees.
Of course.
That was... Yeah. Just a pack of lies, you know, and then she would present herself as so different. And I just, that's like my biggest pet peeve in life is when people aren't authentic.
Mm.
It just drives me crazy. So there was part of me that I didn't, you know, explain things very nicely and I made fun of her. But it was coming from a place of being so frustrated that I was watching this person just be so not authentic.
It is. That is, you know, what triggers me.
It just drives me
when
crazy.
Things happen behind closed
but
doors
no, it's
and then
not
public
a thing
they're different
anymore.
And then you're mislabeled or things like that.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah, it's
I become very deregulated. So I can connect with that. All right. There you go, Zach Reality. You got your shout out. Brit drama with Carly dead. Let's get back to business. You get off the show. We know you go on Paradise twice. So we're going to get into Paradise. I want to hear about the podcast and of course music. But before we do that, within the period between The Bachelor ending and then Paradise.
Yes.
Was there any way for you to monetize, make money, drive any type of career movement from being on the show at that time?
Yes, a little bit. I started working with, and honestly, he was such a slime ball. I can't even remember his name. Some guy who was a slime ball. And
like an agent, are you saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And he, not who I'm with now, he... got me a few things, like a few advertisements on Instagram right when I moved to Nashville.
How many followers did you have at this time?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe less than 100,000 if you had to guess?
Maybe.
Okay.
I really honestly have no idea.
Okay. So you get a few Instagram ads. If you had to guesstimate how much you made off Instagram in this time before going back on Paradise, give me an approximation.
I think every ad was probably... maybe $300 to $500.
Okay, so things have obviously changed dramatically.
They
since
have
then.
Changed since then. Yes.
The guy that the agent you said that was a scumbag.
Yeah.
Why was he? What made him?
Because
a scumbag?
He wouldn't send me money afterwards.
He didn't pay you.
Right.
So you do the deal.
He paid me for some of them.
And you didn't get paid.
And then, yeah. And then I was like, I'm missing so much money. And he was like, no, you're not. And I sent all the stats back. And then I was just like, never mind. We're not working together anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is that person still in the business?
I have no idea.
I hope not. Okay. So you go on Paradise. First time you go on Paradise, was there any hesitation? You already talked about negotiating. I ask anyone that's been on Paradise, did you negotiate at all?
No, I didn't negotiate. I was just kind of... my best friend was Jade. So Jade was like, I don't know if I want to do it. And I was like, let's just do it and have fun. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so she was more trying to figure out if she wanted to go or not. But I was like, who cares? Let's just go have fun. Like, it really, truly doesn't matter. Let's just go to the beach and hang out with each other.
Yeah.
That's as much thought as
with
I gave
ABC
it.
With some ABC cameras around.
Yeah.
You know, just give it a shot.
Well, and I was like, what are we doing right now? We had moved to Nashville and then we're like, well, I don't know. What do we do?
Now, the first time you go on, was that when Jade and Tanner were together?
Yes.
Okay.
That's when they got together.
And it for you, the first time on Paradise didn't work out relationship-wise.
No, I met a guy at the first day and we were with each other like till basically the last day. And then, not the last day, like 3 days before the last day.
Okay.
Just broke up
right before.
He was like, I was like, what, you coming over to break up with me? And then he was like, he did.
Sure am.
It's funny now. It's wasn't funny, now. Funny then.
Wasn't funny then.
So crazy.
Tell you what, time heals. Let's talk about this. So we just had Michael A on. He came out this past week. He told us that he negotiated a $35,000 guarantee. So whether he left day one or day two. We've also had people like Wells on who said he was given $400 a day. And even when he started hosting as the bartender, he still was making $400 a day. What was it pay like back then? Around $200-$300 a day?
I think it was $300 or $400
okay.
a day.
So pretty consistent with
yes.
that. Then you made it the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So you go on Bachelor, in Paradise. You get off Bachelor in Paradise, your heart's broken.
So you
have another full year until you touch reality TV again.
Mm-hmm.
In that full year, from a career standpoint, what's going through Carly's head? What worked? What didn't work? What did income look like?
Gosh, I mean, after Bachelor in Paradise, I mean, income was, I started working with a different agent, social media agent, and income was, I mean, way better. Like, you know, thousands of dollars an ad or $1,000 as opposed to $300 or something like that. And I think Jade and I did some like casino things and appearances and things like that that would generate income where I could hang out with my friends and make money, you know, not just Instagram stuff.
Things like, so what year was this? 2000?
I have no idea. I'm so old.
Let's say it's 2000. All right. So the year was like for you and Jade to go to a club, I'm going to guess, like you're at a casino, you're doing an appearance, meet and greet. I'm going to guess that you guys made back then $3,000 each.
I bet it was something
Does
like
that. Sound
that.
Right?
That sounds probably right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in that year, if you had to guess, I'm going to guess, you tell me if I'm close. Before going on Paradise again, $150,000 off social media?
Oh, yeah.
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 More or less?
Probably that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Then. So at this time, you're full on influencing career-wise.
Yes.
Okay. Where are you living?
Nashville.
At any point before going back on Paradise, are you starting to flirt or think about the music scene again?
I've always wanted to live in Nashville because I always wanted to be a singer. Since I was like a little, I had books that were like, how to make it in the music business.
Yeah.
And I was like, it has to be in Nashville.
Yeah.
But then when I moved, I was going out a lot and meeting a lot of people and there was music everywhere, but I was making so much money doing this other thing that social media and the Bachelor world was just such a distraction from anything else.
Yeah.
So music was there and I would like, you know, go sing karaoke and do some stuff. And I'd still be like writing songs. Like I never have stopped doing that, but not really. That's not true. Actually, now that I think about it, after the guy broke my heart on Bachelor in Paradise, I did write a song and so ghetto-ly, like made the music on GarageBand myself. I don't even think it was like in the right key.
Yeah.
And sang it and then put it online. Okay. And then I remember when they were interviewing me, Chris Harrison was like, oh, and you wrote like a breakup song. And mm-hmm. I was like, yes. So I was still doing it, but okay. not in the way of like being in Nashville and getting on stage and singing. I was like releasing things online.
Okay. Did you think reality TV was done at this point? Or did you have a pretty good idea that
Paradise I thought it was coming done. Around? No, I thought it was.
So how did done. They get you back to going, and why did you end up going back to Paradise round two?
I was like really mad at the show. Honestly. I mean,
for what reason?
So when this guy broke up with me, it was like a big deal on the show and okay. nobody saw it coming, but did they see it coming?
Got it.
And I was just in the dark for TV. I just was like, I can't do that again mm-hmm. because I don't know what was real.
Okay.
That's what I felt like. There was a show going on and everyone knew and I didn't know. And I felt like a fool.
Like blindsided completely.
That was my name of my song was Blindsided. It's down now. It was so bad. But anyway.
I was going to say, go download it. Maybe not.
Don't. Two it's gone, please. Download. I'm trying to find it. But anyway, I was like, absolutely not. I started like sort of dating, but like not. I didn't want to go
back. Did you date, before going on Paradise Round 2, did you date anybody from the franchise?
No.
Okay.
No, I have never dated anyone from the franchise.
Okay. Well, you have. Well, you've actually married him.
But like, that's the only person.
Got it. Right. Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay.
No.
All right. So
I've never been the girl that guys have like gone after. So like got like bachelor people slipping in people's DMs. That is like not, that hasn't happened to me.
Huh. Well, have you slipped into anybody else's
DMs? No.
It's just not your style.
No.
You're just like, go to the bar, there's karaoke, maybe I'll meet my future husband.
You know, there would be worse ways. Yeah. You know?
Okay. That's fair. I like that. All right. So they end up convincing you to go on.
Somehow. They did.
Did you use this negotiating power you've already talked about to get paid more?
I didn't.
So you got paid the same than you did the year before?
Yeah.
$400 a day.
But again, I was kind of just like, I did not think I would meet anyone. I just was truly like, I'm just going to go because it's something to do right now.
And you had the new guys come through. There's a new season. You didn't have your eye on anyone.
No.
Okay. And then you come off the show and you got engaged on the show.
I did.
No idea that was coming.
Well, I did not think I would get engaged, but he told me on our date that he wouldn't propose to me because he wanted his kids to be involved with me before he ever did that.
Yeah.
But then Amanda Stanton told me he is going to propose. And I was walking down to the beach really, truly not knowing what the fuck was going on.
Wow. Okay, so you come off Paradise, not even expecting to go in reality TV. You then walk out with a ring and a fiance.
Yeah.
You're that shaking your head.
Well, all right.
Can I ask about this? Because we talk money, career, things like that. The ring. My understanding what the ring is if you're engaged for 2 years, you get to keep the ring. And contractually, no matter what, it's your ring.
I actually did not like the ring that I was presented.
Did you get to do a switcheroo?
I did, but it was still under the same like amount of money that the ring they had purchased for.
You can't tee me up like that.
I'm not sure what that amount was because I wasn't told.
What do you think the ring was valued?
Well, okay. So we went to pick out our wedding bands at Neil Lane on Rodeo Drive.
Okay.
So I think everything in there is probably priced a little more because it's on Rodeo.
Retail up a little
That's
bit.
What I'm thinking. Okay. Because like if you took this ring to Kay's Jewelers, where he does have a line, it would look a lot
interesting.
Like what's in that line. But I don't know if the diamond is different. I don't know anything about that.
Mm.
But I do know that I finally was like, Evan, don't like this.
Yeah.
And he was like a little bit offended. And then he was like, okay, let's see if we can change it. So then we went into to Neil Lane and he was like, could Carly change the ring? And he was like, I'll pay more for it, which this ring I think cost like a couple $1,000s more. And he was like, you can just have it, which was really nice.
Okay.
Yes, I do have that ring.
Okay.
And the new version.
The retail version though, if you had to guess, $75,000?
No, I think it was like in the 20s.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Surprised by that. Okay. So retail around 2025. And then contractually you get to keep it. It's your ring.
Yes.
If you're engaged for 2 years, is my understanding.
Yeah, and we were married We got divorced the day before our 5th year anniversary.
Okay. Got it. I'm
sorry. Please don't be.
Okay. All right. So you get off the show, you're engaged. So now it's a whole different world. Social media is moving in a different world.
Yes.
And now you're in this Bachelor Nation relationship. Talk to me about career moves from there. What were you thinking? Was there a plan? When did you notice? Like, I've
never
had
a plan. I'm always on the no plan plan.
Okay.
Which isn't a good plan.
I was gonna say, but it's worked out for you.
Yeah, but yes. But it's always like, ooh, like it's, I don't know.
Okay.
It's always a little bit, money makes me nervous.
For what?
Because
reason?
I've had a lot and I've had a little and I've had the middle and it's never been a constant thing, you know? Huh. It's never been something I've been great at. Really good at spending money.
The typical, like, if you look at that chronological breakdown of what you said, I've had a little, I've had some, and I've had a lot. Typically, as people are aging, right, and they're working more, the natural progression is I've had a little, I've had a decent amount, and I've had a lot. Was that the same road for you?
I mean, I made the most money right after Evan and I got engaged.
So that was your best year income-wise?
The best year income-wise was the year we got married on Paradise.
Okay, which was the following summer then?
Yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's when everything, you know, followers skyrocketed.
Okay, gotcha. So you do that full year, you're influencing. Now, we already know, like, we guesstimate around 150,000. If you're guesstimating, like, double that.
Oh, yeah, for
maybe
sure.
Maybe even more.
Maybe
even triple
that. Yeah.
Wow, so you're crushing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're moving full speed. You both live in Nashville. You're engaged. There's only been one wedding, I think, on Paradise with Crystal and
Chris.
Thank you. And Chris. Chris was on our season. Then since your wedding. So it seems like they've like kind of gone away with weddings, but it felt like your wedding.
Well, they're working out really well.
Yeah. Yeah, we can both speak to that one. Success rate, not so much. Hopefully, Joey's the new bachelor. It's going to work out for him. I have a feeling. All right. For the wedding, though, how does that work? I remember Caitlin telling me a little bit about it. I know she was there and they brought some heavy hitters back for your wedding. And I feel like when it was on Paradise, it was massive. I wasn't in the whole Bachelor world then, but I even remember hearing everything about that wedding then. Tell me a little bit about that. When they approached you, did you guys negotiate? Was there hesitation?
Okay. So Evan was really wanting to get married on TV.
Okay.
And that wasn't something I was looking to do.
Were you against it?
Not against it. I just was like, we came back from Paradise and there was a lot going on in our relationship. So I kind of was like, is this the right thing to do already? And it's just so public. And I don't know. I think he asked them, I want to get married on the show. How can we do that?
I always feel like they would approach, but
I think he did it. And then they were like, great idea.
Okay.
And then they kind of said, where do you want to get married? And started talking to me about wedding details. I was like, I don't know. So I really wanted to get married in Napa. And so they were like, go look at places in Napa. So I was going to look at places with Jade and Julia. And then they kind of said, I think we're just going to do it in the Vedanta in Paradise area.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So then that kind of changed. But then the wedding was also that same year that Paradise got shut down for that scandal.
Oh,
so our wedding almost did not happen
almost
at all.
Almost got canceled because of that.
Yes. So we didn't even, like, 2 weeks before our wedding, we didn't even know if it was going to happen.
Wow.
Which I was like, what? But again, there was a lot going on. Even then, that was so, there was just drama happening with stuff.
In your personal life.
Yes. And so I was kind of like, if we didn't do it right now, it would make a lot of things really easy.
So while Paradise almost got shut down a week or two before your wedding, I think what I'm hearing is a week or two before your wedding, you were
thinking about not marrying Evan. I still was going to do that. It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was just a lot.
A wedding's a lot in itself. And then on TV and then Paradise and everything. I mean, it's a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
But also what I didn't know was I was pregnant. So everything was a lot. I found out I was pregnant 3 days after we were married.
Wow. So during that taping, you were pregnant?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So there was just like, it was
There's a lot.
There's a lot happening at that same time.
Friends and family, can they come to those weddings?
Yes. But you know, what's interesting about that is there's a limit of people you can invite. Yeah. So, you know, I have a huge family.
Of course.
Yeah. If you invite one extra person, you have to invite that whole set, sure. You know? So I kept it super small.
Okay.
I invited, obviously, my brothers, my mom and dad. Yeah. Actually, one of my brothers couldn't come, but I didn't go to his wedding because it was filmed while I was in Paradise. It's terrible. He's still my best friend. The guy from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Bachelorette. But anyway, I invited like two of my cousins and my aunt and uncle and my grandma.
Okay. And so for the wedding, they obviously pay for the whole wedding. Do you get paid to be like, yes. Do you get paid to go to your wedding?
We got paid to go to our wedding and our wedding was paid for.
That's pretty good.
I didn't get to keep my dress, which was kind of sad.
Did you negotiate it?
No.
Like did you negotiate your payment?
No.
Interesting. Mm-mm. Okay. Can I take a guess at how much they paid you?
Sure.
You can tell me, either you can tell me the amount or you can tell me I'm hot, warm or cold.
Okay.
I'm going to say you guys got a talent fee of 10,000 each.
More.
I was going to say 15 each. More.
We got 25 each.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So here Carly is saying a couple of years ago, I'm not going on Paradise. You go right. on Paradise, you get engaged, you get the ring. You have one of the best years you ever have. Then you get married. You're mm-hmm. paid to go on. Mm-hmm. Things at this point, I mean, momentum is at your back. You have now been on the show, Bachelor in Paradise, got married. So you're four uh-huh. years, this whole 15 minutes of fame thing out the fucking door. Mm-hmm. You're on your fourth year, probably career, professional, and financial wise, doing your absolute best.
Yes.
Okay. When you just get married, at what point do you start the podcast with Jade? Was that before or after that?
It was after that.
Okay.
We had the podcast 1 year with her best friend, Liz, and then 3 years by herself,
yeah.
I believe.
Okay. Got it. So that extends things another 3-4 years. I went on that podcast. It was a great podcast. You guys, from a business perspective, built in massive, massive community.
Yes.
With moms and mm-hmm. married individuals talking about trials, tribulations, relationships, and parenting and all of these mm-hmm. things. How did that podcast do? Did it perform well? Did you guys monetize well off it?
It did well at the beginning. I mean, I think. And then it was hard because Jade and I both aren't like people that love to reach out to people and ask
to be
for a favor.
Yeah.
And so if one of us was like that, I think it would have done better. But I feel I'm not a good, I don't ask for favors in life.
Yeah.
I kind of just do it all myself. Oh. I think that was probably one of the issues we had. And then we were both so in kid mode that it was really hard to even like just put time and energy into it outside of filming.
Okay.
Or, you know, not filming.
Yeah, but just showing recording. Up and recording. And
yeah.
Because behind the scenes of podcasting, there's so many moving parts, right?
Right.
The clips, the pre-producing, the questions, the talent, what does the talent align with the timing? Like there's so much shit that goes, the editing, all of
this.
It's a lot. So for you guys, you guys were doing well with it in the beginning though, making a couple bucks.
Yeah, of course.
And then it got to a point where you're just like, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Yes.
Okay.
Completely. But also I will say like we were signed with Westwood One. And they started taking on, they hadn't done podcasts before. So we were one of the first with them. And they started taking on so many podcasts that, you know, I just think they didn't know there was just too many hands to feed, you know, and they couldn't feed us the way we needed to be fed.
But now that they're with Podcast One, who then blew up and then sold, now they're publicly traded. Like, it's crazy what's happening.
Crazy.
Yeah. Is there any bit of podcasting that you want to get? Do you have a desire to get back into the space?
You know, so we were let go from Westwood One. Okay. And then they actually asked me back to do something else. And it was in that time, there was a girl who's actually a radio host here. And we were thinking about doing something. And then I was just like, you know, I'd rather, she does a lot of interviews of country music artists. Okay. And it was in that time that I was like, I want to be the one being interviewed. I don't want to be the person interviewing Carrie Underwood.
Great question. That's a great, great thought.
So to me, I was like, that's not the route. You know, it just seemed like the opposite of what I would truly my dream was.
Yeah.
You know,
when last question on the podcast, when you guys wrapped it up, was there any, was it mutual between you and Jade? Was there any bit of like contention there? Or was it just like, no, this didn't work out. Like we love each other. Life is good.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't our choice. You know what I mean?
Good point.
So it was just kind of one of those things. It's like, we talked about doing something independently and I was like, Jade, when do we have time to do that?
Yeah.
Like what, you going to edit it?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause I'm not.
Yeah.
And you going to get the guests? Cause I don't want to. That was their job. It was just, there was too much. And honestly, I couldn't talk about being a mom anymore for a while. I was like,
burnt out from
I'm more than a mom.
Yeah.
And I love my kids, but like, I got to do something else. You know?
I love it. I think good for you guys, career direction. You've made a ton of pivots career wise.
Yes.
We're going to get into the music. One thing I have to ask you about, I just wrote a book. It comes out in April. It's called Talk Money to Me. And it's 8 questions that you need to know about yourself when it comes to your financials and 8 questions you need to know about your partner.
Mm.
And the whole idea is like moving and working as one and finding a customized solution that works best for both of you, even if there's different income levels and there's different time deployed and value add.
Yeah.
It's like getting on the same page as one. It's a number two reason
that
relationships don't
totally
work out. When it came to, that's a tough position when you get married on a TV show, you get engaged on a TV show, and then you're out in this crazy world. Did you and Evan have any type of financial, I guess, like discussions about processes or even recommendations that worked for you that people back home could listen to or recommendations that you wish you would have done differently, just as managing finances as one?
We didn't manage finances as one. I never knew how much it was in his bank account and he never knew how much mine it was in mine.
Interesting.
So we kept that very, very separate.
Knowing what you know now, do you think that had like the money aspect of things had led to any type of issues not knowing, or do you think
I think in the divorce, yes, but no, because I just happily paid and he would happily pay, and you know, we just took turns and
yeah,
and you know, like he would pay the rent and I would pay all the bills and he would, you know what I mean, like we took our things and did them, but yeah, no.
We had a marriage attorney out of LA come on, and what her perspective was on prenups was, you don't have to sign them, but they already exist. I was like, what do you mean they already exist? She said, every person that gets married is a prenup. I said, that's not true. She said, it is true. Every state has their own set of rules once you get married, and every state's rules are different. Those state rules are your prenup. And then the choice
if you want to
adjust those state rules with the United States rules to customize it to your situation. So I was like, that's an interesting perspective that I never heard of. Was there ever a discussion of a prenup, and knowing what you know now about divorce for anyone back home that hasn't got married, do you have any advice or an opinion on that?
You know, it's interesting. Evan actually asked me for a prenup before we got married. And I told him, I'm not doing that because I would never take anything from you.
Yeah.
And I didn't take any, I mean, he pays me child support, but I didn't take a dime from him otherwise. Nor he didn't take any of my money either. I understand why they exist completely, but I do also understand what you're saying. The laws are the laws.
Yeah.
You know, but you also, you know, we used a mediator. So you also can make choices.
That is a really good point. That's something we've never talked about. Can you talk about like what a little bit of a mediator does for anyone out there that's like, wait, what? That's an option?
So a mediator is an option if, you know, there wasn't bad blood, you know? So a mediator was chosen because we didn't need lawyers to fight over a home. We didn't need lawyers to fight over money. We, you know, we wanted to keep it as peaceful as possible. I owned my home. He wasn't trying to take it. We both, you know, still didn't know how much was in each other's bank accounts. So we weren't trying to take it. And so it was just an easier way than having lawyers come in and tell you, hey, you can get something from him or you can do this. And just having a bunch of chatty people in your ear.
Running the bill up every phone
so,
call.
Yeah. So it was just cheaper. Yep. Because we could just sit in there and say, here's this, here's that. I will say at the end, I did get a lawyer for some of the ending, you know, bow tie on the top. But a mediator is an option just to, it just costs less.
And so you pay a mediator, is it per hour or for the project?
You pay, you know, up front. I think we paid like $2,500 just to use her.
Yeah.
And then, like per hour.
And the purpose of a mediator is to like to do exactly what the title is. Like, let's compromise yes. and do what makes sense.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
And for all of us.
Right. And right? with kids being involved, you know, that's to me where the finances and stuff, that wasn't like not the big deal. It was more like, how often are we going to see our children?
Time.
And so I can't compromise on that.
Sure.
So I was like, I need them most of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not compromising on that. What she was very willing to give me the time that we have. I will say that was that one with a mediator. To me, I was like a little bit more scared about.
Yeah. It ended up working out with a mediator, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a training seat we'd never had on this podcast. And I think it's a good one. And I think maybe it's even an agreement some couple should have before they even enter into marriage and say, hey, if things don't work out, one of the routes we're going to decide to go right now is mediation. Like we will get a mediator as opposed to letting two high-priced attorneys just try and kill us.
Just start there.
Yeah.
I would say.
I think that's a great, great training seat.
Yeah.
Let's transition into being a single parent. I think there are a lot of single parents that listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Any advice from either a financial perspective or even managing your career as a single parent? Like any thoughts or ideas or strategies for people out
honestly,
there?
Honestly, just you need a lot of help. Like you can't, I mean, I do it alone. Like we sleep there together and whatever. But I mean, I had a nanny for 3 years just to help me until the kids were school age because I still needed to do all my content. I needed to record my podcast. I needed to do all these things. And then when the nanny wasn't there, sometimes I needed to call my mom to come over because even today, my son's in school Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but Tuesday and Thursday, I don't have help. So obviously like we're recording a podcast. I have things to do some of these days. So I had to, you know, call in the mom.
Sure.
But I will say, I will never forget the first night being in my house as a single parent alone, giving baths, putting the kids to bed, being so overwhelmed and thinking like, how am I ever going to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a lot. And I did not sign up for this life.
Yeah.
But now, like every day is just a day. You know, it's like, yes, you have challenges. They're children. But like, it's not that anymore. It's like, it's not easy, but it's like, become its own version of sort of easy.
Yeah. It's almost like survival instincts, whether it's money, career, or being a parent, it feels like what I'm hearing at least is that when you're backed up against a wall and you feel like you're stuck and there's nowhere to go, you find a way to do it.
You
and when
do.
Your survival instincts get tapped to a level they never have. And now it feels like this is my interpretation. So tell me if I'm right or wrong. But now that you have it down, it's like, okay, I can do that. I can do anything.
Yeah.
I have found the time. I understand how to do this. My career, my personal life, my dating, like all these things are going to work out now.
Right. Or you like just, you have to pivot in some other way.
Yeah. Okay. You pivoted. You pivoted in a big way. Okay. You pivoted in a big way into music.
Yes.
Always been a big part of your life. It is now you go to Carly's page, you are going to see Carly singing. We posted the reel yesterday of you singing. You have an EP out. So an EP, from my understanding, it's not a single, but it's not a full record.
Right.
So it's somewhere in between.
Yes.
You released two songs. Was there any hesitation to get back into the music space?
No. I have released four, by the way.
Okay.
But
correction. You've released four.
I have two more to release.
Two more to release.
But they're not finished yet.
Okay.
I mean, they're finished, but they're not mastered yet. Right after I was asked for a divorce, I remember having a conversation with my social media agent and he was like, you just need to do something that makes you happy. Like, what makes you happy? Yeah. And so I was like, singing makes me happy. And so he's like, do it. And so he found these people that I worked with to put everything together and wrote with and produced. And I think right when I started writing with them, I knew this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And like, I usually, my gut doesn't, sometimes it does, but I feel like lately in the past couple of years, my gut hasn't really steered me very wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it felt so good to be doing that again, that even though I was spending lots of money on it, I was like, this still feels like what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up though, because I was listening to your song, Your Friends Like Me, on the way here. Love that song, by
Thank
the way.
You.
I was like, this is landing. This is great. but I thought about it. I was like, do you have to pay to make it? Like, if I wanted to make a song, I'm not capable of, but if I did, you have to pay, like, you have to pay a writer. You have to do all these things, right? Out of pocket.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hired writers, and like one of the writers, his name's Curtis Douglas. But he's also like a producer, and he mixes all this music, and he's skyrocketed since I met him. He's incredible. Just a genius. But I basically like bought a package of three songs, including me writing with two writers, and the song from basically start to finish recorded, mixed, and then I would have to get it mastered. So it was like a three song package, but each song cost a lot.
Yeah. Like, let me guess.
Okay.
Each song, to make a song, I'm going to say $7,500.
Well, less actually.
Like, $7,500 is a lot of freaking money.
Yeah. Less.
$4,000.
It was $5,000 per song from start to finish.
Okay.
Writing included.
And so you buy a package of three. So then you're spending $15,000 cash out the door. I love talking about this stuff because it's things that people do not know about the music industry.
Yeah.
The other thing that they don't know is how
other
hard
people
is
might be doing it way differently.
Way differently.
Yeah. Right.
But this was your strategy.
Right.
And to recoup that though, in this space, it's like next to impossible, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because how?
When that's why I'm like, why did I just spend all this money on music, you crazy lunatic?
But let me also counter this. For your brand as a whole, it's got to be huge. I mean, we have Zach Tepperman here, Zach Tepperman, PRZTPR, beauty in Nashville. Like, I mean, just having, you know, Zach behind what you're doing and how you're doing it, and then seeing what you're doing, it has to allow for other revenue sources that aren't connected to actually money coming in from music directly.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
Okay, Zach, that's your job right there. Start getting her brand out so we can make this $15,000 back. Have you seen other things help your brand from the music? So I know I've seen you do national anthems. Like I've seen you
Zach.
Doing more. That was Zach. Good job, Zach.
Everything is
right.
Zach.
Like different like country artists, red carpets and stuff. So are you feeling the benefits of your brand in other ways from the money you've deployed to make music?
Yes, I did that. But then I bought three more songs. Then I made music videos. I had all these trips to Arizona because that's when everything was done. Then I paid for advertising for all of these songs. And so it was
all in more than $50,000.
Way more.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is terrifying, honestly, as a single parent, because it makes me feel very guilty. Because I'm like, ooh, like that was also money for my kids, you know? But there's also a part of me that's like so fucking proud of myself because this is what I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And you get one chance to like do it right.
Yeah.
And so that's where my money was. You get one chance to do it right.
Yeah.
Go all in.
And you think about what is, a lot of times we talk dollars and cents on this podcast, but there are things that are so much greater than dollars and cents. So let's say it's $75,000 or let's just call it $100,000 all in. What is the value of your kids knowing that their mom at all costs like lived her dream
And
went for it?
They think I'm Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
They think that people came to the baseball game to see me sing, not to watch the baseball game.
But that instills life lessons in them that like, even if it's going to cost $100,000, you could afford it. Go for it. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do with it.
Yeah. And then I also think, you know, I've always been a singer. So having me now not be bachelor person, be singer. Yeah. That's who I am.
Yeah.
That is who I am. I'm not influencer bachelor woman.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I do. This is what I'm good at. So I like looking at my Instagram page and yes, seeing my kids, but also seeing the music because I'm like, that's Carly.
Yeah.
You know, that other person that's like been there the last couple of years, that wasn't the best version of myself.
Yeah. It was your journey. And part of your journey, you've made, people have followed you now for, you know, 6-7 years and they've seen all the ups and downs. So it's just a part of your chapter. But like now it feels like, and that's why I'm so excited to have you on, you turn the chapter in a new way professionally, but also that's enlightened you in every other way. I mean, do you feel that?
Oh, 1,000%.
Right. And that's why the pillars of like professional, personal, and financial I'm a firm believer they're not siloed. Like they happen as one.
I think I came back to myself with music and even opened myself up to just being a better mom. Like, you know, the dating world, like there's so much that has come just from me. I think just finding myself again. And I think music was like the catalyst to that.
Okay. So for everyone that's listening that loves your music, they follow you, what can they expect career-wise? What's the direction you're going next with music?
I'm going to continue to be putting out music. I'm doing some collaborations that are fun. Cool. But I think just watching me do it, I'm just going to keep going.
Keep
going. Because like who's, you know, Lady Gaga did it.
Yeah.
She can do it. You can do it. You know?
All right.
And yeah, I honestly, there's like a lot of people out there that are like, this is probably not a very nice thing to say, but there's a lot of people in the music industry that aren't even like good singers. And I'm like, if they can do it, like I can definitely do it.
It feels to me that I don't know anything about music, but what I do know is it feels like a lot of it's a marketing play.
Yeah.
Like there are certain people back to the Broadway vibe, like the talent's there.
Yes.
It's just, how are you branding yourself to be captivating, to be special?
Yeah.
All right. Piece of advice for someone right now that's stuck. They haven't pursued their dream. They want to pursue their dream. They've always had their eyes on it. As a kid, they had those books of what they wanted to do. And now they're down the lane that they're not. What would you tell them to do? It's like the first step.
Oh my gosh. It's really just like baby steps. Like do one thing. And honestly, like music, it was scary. I was like, ooh, that's a scary place to step back into. But I think if it scares you, then you kind of like know it's the right thing to do for yourself.
I like that.
Like you got to kind of step into your fear and just like put your toe in the water.
Okay.
Like I whatever like that is. And even like, I know I keep saying this and I shouldn't be saying I'm old, but like I'm old. Like people in the music industry coming out, but they're like 21. You know what I mean? I'm turning 38 next month.
Yeah,
so it's a weird time. I have kids. Like this is not the ideal time to put music out. Yeah. But I think the ideal time for me is now.
Ideal time for you.
That's what I got. But also like, because I like telling people like, you can do it whenever.
Yeah. I think that's a great takeaway to have, because you feel as though these 21-year-olds have something that you don't have, because they do. They are 21. They have an experience that's different, but also the same goes for them. You have an experience that they don't have. You've been married. You've been on reality TV. You have kids. You are single parenting. Like there's so much in your journey that you can share that they can't share.
Totally.
And so I think knowing that like age or number doesn't define you, it's your experiences and how you share them defines you. And I think that's the big message, I think, right?
Yeah, totally. All right.
Well, music is exciting. You talked about dipping your toes in. If you're scared, do it, but do it scared. One of the last questions I got to ask you is reality TV. You did it 3 times. Scared. Are we going to see you on the beaches? Are we going to see you in another show? Do you have an interest in going reality TV?
No.
Never. So Carly will never be on reality TV again from a career perspective.
I mean, God, if it was like The Voice or something, maybe, but like not in a dating something world. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There you go. Get ready for music, not reality TV from Carly. The brand has shifted and the brand is moving. The last question I got for you before I get your trading secret is the whole influencing world. We talked a little bit about when you got off the show. We talked about when you got engaged, when you got married. We haven't talked about after the breakup, being single. Have you seen a dip in like career earnings? Why? What's your take on it? How have you navigated it?
I wouldn't say I've navigated it well. I think so I've officially been divorced like 1.5 years. And you know, I had the 1 million followers and then it went down after that. And I was going to let that bother me, but I decided to not let that bother me. Because I don't need those people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But also, you know, social media is so much about like, you have to keep posting, keep doing it. And this year I've really, like I said, I was doing the music thing. I haven't been very present on social media like I used to. And I know that social media is a job and I haven't been very good at my job. And so I've made way less than I have in years. But I also know that that was my own choosing to have a break for myself.
Yeah.
I choose when I go on and do it. It doesn't choose me.
I love that. And when you've been good with money, you have that freedom to do so.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But I will say in the past couple of months, I've been like, okay, maybe I should get back rolling in the game of the social media.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the break was necessary and needed.
I love it. And sometimes the break gives you that creative ingenuity to come back even stronger.
Totally. Yeah.
I have my breakup album. This is what I'm calling my breakup album. I never, ever listened to the Eagles before.
The Eagles are so great.
For some reason, during this breakup, I can't. I'm every day I've been listening to the Eagles. And the one you would say.
This is like my year of the Eagles, too.
Is it really?
I'm so in love with the Eagles.
I'm telling you
year.
There's something about it, but there's a line and taking it to the limit. And it is spend all your time making money or spend your love making time.
Yeah.
And so when you said the idea about like, I can spend all my time driving the content, putting it out, worrying about what people think. And yes, the money comes in, or you can just spend your love where you want to make your time.
Yes.
And then it will all come together.
Yeah.
So that's my take on that. Career advice, personal life, breakup advice, take it home. Carly, we got to get a trading secret from you. One trading secret that people couldn't read in a newspaper, they couldn't watch in a YouTube tutorial or TikTok tutorial. They can't learn from a professor. They can only learn from you based on all your career experiences. So it could be a money tip. It could be a life tip. It could be a financial tip, career tip, anything. It's got to be one trading secret.
Truly, like I don't have any financial tips, but career tip, I would just say, do what you love. You get one life. I say this because I have been financially blessed in the last few years, but you could, you know, go to work and do a 9-to-5 every day and just like hate your life. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you take a pay cut and you go for the job that you love and your life feels so much fuller. Mm-hmm. So yes, money needs to be there, but I do think that at least try to, even if it's not your job, try to find something that you love to make yourself happy.
I love that. And I think a trading secret I'm going to take away from this is you can make so many excuses in life and so many curveballs can come your way. But if you want it bad enough, you'll find the time. Even if you've gone through a divorce, even if you're a single mother with kids, even if you feel like you lost your dream of what once was, if you want it bad enough, the excuses stop and the action happens.
Yeah.
And you can do it, even if you're pressed against the wall. So that is going to be my trading secret from you, Carly. Thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets. Let's first start with this. People want to listen to your music. If they haven't heard it, where do they go?
Oh, gosh. Anywhere music is streaming. I mean, Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere. You can also go to carlywaddell.com and it'll all be there.
Do you make more money if people buy it on iTunes versus stream it?
I like have no idea.
Okay, these are things, Zach. You got to figure this shit out.
He's let over your here girl know. At me.
But either way, maybe you do. Let's just pretend you
so
do.
Bad,
go
I don't
buy
know.
Carly's music.
See, this
right
is why
now.
I'm like not a good financial person. I'm like, I just loved putting out a song.
All right, we're gonna have to get you talking to our agency, Carly. All right, so buy the song on iTunes, stream it on Apple or Spotify. Right, watch your music videos. Are they on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, and then where can everyone find all your social handles?
I mean, everything is Carly Wadd, CarlyWadd.
There you go. We heard that story and why
that's
the Instagram handle. The last thing I'll leave with, can we expect when your next song will be out? Is there a date we should be paying close attention?
I think probably like the new year.
The new year. Okay.
Maybe before then. Who knows? I might surprise you.
Okay. Get buckled up. Check out My Kind of Woman, Your Friends Like Me. Those are my two that I listened to twice. Really enjoyed those.
I love you. Love My Kind of Woman.
And Carly, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Yeah, thanks.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing in the bell with Bachelor in Paradise superstar, now country singer, touring Carly Wadell. Now she's on tour right now with Nick Carter. That is pretty cool. David, we have the curious Canadian, the one and only, with us. I am sure the brain was moving 100 miles an hour because we covered everything. We covered the wedding. We covered TV stuff. We covered the cost of the ring. We covered Lady Gaga, from education to the beaches of paradise, getting married and divorce to mediation. We got it all. David Arnold, what are you thinking, brother?
I mean, I wasn't expecting Lady Gaga to come up in this episode, and that was one. It came up nice and early and it kind of had me hooked, and I was so interested to hear the perspective that Carly had on what I would say. What do you say, Jay? Lady Gaga, top 5 superstar in the world, maybe top 10?
Definitely top 10. I mean, that one drove me for a curveball. Her publicist was in the room, David, and his jaw dropped, and after he's like, wait, I've been working you for this long. Like, I know all this stuff about you. I didn't even know that.
My favorite part was she's like started saying her name, like Lady Stephanie. Let's just call her Stephanie.
Did you know her name was Stephanie?
I had no clue that her name is Stephanie. And it was just really interesting to hear, like, you know, the little things that she wasn't a fan of, like her couldn't even eat her lunch in in peace because Lady Gaga's just hammering the keys, playing Wicked, screaming at the top of their lungs, but probably a separator skill for her because that's just who she is. But it was funny to hear her say, like, what did she say? Wearing tight leggings and boobs falling out everywhere. Like, just not how you picture the Lady Gaga that we have. So good to know that there's a Stephanie behind the Lady Gaga. I thought that was really a really interesting trading secret that we heard from her.
The behind the scenes of Stephanie. And what I think to me the biggest takeaway from that one was, I would assume that Lady Gaga was just a prodigy. I would assume she was a LeBron James, a Wayne Gretzky, a Tiger Woods. But at least from what we heard from Carly, like, of course she was super talented, but it sounds as though she really stepped into development and took off at a level that she didn't expect.
100%. And it's funny because there's probably a hint of Carly that maybe she won't even admit that in the back of their head is like, I was better than her. I should have been Lady Gaga. That goes into it a little bit. Little singer competition in there. But nonetheless, good to see her crushing it now in the music industry. But before the music industry, Jay, she's on TV. That's where she gets really noticed. And I know that you ask money questions sometimes and you don't always know if you're going to get the answer to them. And when you asked her about the details of her wedding, were you expecting her to give you the flat out answer of how much that they got paid?
No.
Straight up. No, I love it.
I didn't expect that, but I think it sounds right. Like, I'll say this, I wasn't blown away either way. Like, whoa. But like, it's interesting. Yeah. I think that's newer news to the show. I don't think that we've covered that before. So, but that sounds right. That number sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, you did a lot of research and I'm sure this would have came up. So the fact that you got the answer, $25,000 each for the wedding plus the wedding paid for, they're probably, you know, net $200,000 that they're profiting from that and putting that $25,000 in their own bank account. No split finances, no even knowledge of finances between these two, which gets your little book brain going there for what you're about to release. So I thought that was really interesting as well.
It's always interesting information. That's the point of this podcast, right? Financial transparency.
100%. Now, some transparency into the process after the wedding, which was the divorce, in how they used mediators. I actually liked some insight on that. We've talked prenups on the show before. We've talked those type of things. We haven't had anyone really talk about using a mediator for divorce. Sounds like a much more civil way to go. As she said, sounds like a much cheaper way to go. Were you aware? Did you have knowledge of mediators in this process? Is that something that kind of was news to you as well?
I've heard about mediators, you know, like quite frankly, just thinking about like what Caitlin and I would have done with the dogs. You know, a lot of people suggested like just work through a mediator, come to an agreement, you'll be good. And we didn't do that. But my point is I've heard about mediators. And it was interesting to hear this take because it makes perfect sense, right? A mediator is there to solve the problem, hear from each party what they need and what they're willing to move on, and find a solution. And while attorneys are great and serve amazing purpose in so many which ways, you know, those hourly rates, we've heard it, we've had a divorce attorney on, they can get aggressive. And you know about the bills that come with this. And there's only a couple people winning in a divorce, and it's the attorneys on both sides. So I am very pro mediator if you can avoid going to divorce attorneys.
And all when we talk divorce, when you talk mediators, you're always talking about getting things, taking things, exchanging things of interest. So I found this really interesting, and I was curious if I am always curious because I'm more of a free thinker. You're more of the analytical thinker. She said that her approach to business and career has always been the no plan plan. And the no plan plan is clearly like just take it as it comes. As a business person, do you think that there's some strategy behind having a no plan plan? Or when you hear no plan plan with people, does that make your skin crawl?
I'm not a no plan person. That's just not how I roll. But I have to say, and especially, I think my first introductory to this was with Caitlin. Caitlin's not a no-plan person, and I couldn't understand it. And then I saw the success that she had with it and how it worked for her. And she was like the first person I came across that was like straight up, I have no plan, but I do have a plan, and I'm going to do it my way, and it's going to work for me. And it was ultra successful. And then I've since then been more aware and astute to it to like identify people that are like that. And weirdly enough, I have found a lot of people that are the no plan plan people have extreme success. So I'm not here judging the no plan plan game. I'm here just saying like, interesting, like it works. I think you have to customize what works for you, I guess.
Well, this is what I always thought about too, is if you have a 5-year plan or a 3-year plan, what if something comes up in those 3 years that could be super, super beneficial, that could take you to a place that the end of your 3-year plan supersedes? but you don't take that on, or you don't take advantage of that opportunity or that connection because you're so set in your 3-year plan. So I'm a big no plan plan guy, as long as it's coupled up with what she said in her training secret, do something you love. I think if you do something you love and you have a no plan plan, then you're just absorbing every opportunity, connection, relationship that takes place. So I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on that. I'm not surprised you're not a no plan plan guy.
I'm curious, people back home, Money Mafia, are you a plan plan person, and how does that impact your life? And I think this could be thought about in a few ways. Like, are you a plan plan person with your schedule, and are you a plan plan person with how you manifest, like what is coming in 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now? I do agree with you, David. Like, if I say in 5 years from now, I want to be this, I'm also limiting myself to whatever the creativity or the jump of this is. Right. So I do agree with that. But you guys tell us back, give us 5 stars in the reviews. Let us know. Are you a plan plan person? I'm curious.
If you're looking to hire people, you probably want to hire plan plan people. I feel like no plan plan.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Which is great. Right. Pros and cons to each. Last thing that I'm going to ask you, and this is just sometimes when I listen, I don't get to listen to them with you or listen to them live. So I don't get the chance to ask you these questions that I have off the cuff. And sometimes when you ask people something or people say it, I'm like, what does Jay think? I'm curious. But she said that her biggest pet peeve are when people are not authentic, and has nothing to do with anything that we've talked about before. It's just one of those curiosities, like, huh, I wonder what Jay would say if he was asked that question by her. Because sometimes, you know, you get to sit in the seat and put other people in the hot seats, and it's just not fair. So I'm going to spin the tables, and I'm going to say to you, what is, just out of curiosity, what is your biggest pet peeve about people?
I'll give you two. Hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one. Drives mm-hmm. me crazy. Mm-hmm. And then lies. When people lie behind the scenes and bring a different lie to the forefront. Mm. Yeah. Lies and hypocrisy.
Those are good. Mine's probably when people aren't on time.
No way. Seriously?
Oh.
How are we friends?
I don't
How
know.
How are we friends?
Today, perfect example.
I'm never on time. You've never told. We're learning a lot about each other in this recap. I did not know that.
Little elbows.
Okay, well, noted. I'll be better at that. Was this a way of you telling me that? That's your number one pet peeve, is people not being on time?
Oh, you can ask Ashley, man. I've turned Ashley into like the person who you have to tell a different time for the event. I've turned her into like, you know, making sure that we're out the door 5 minutes early.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'll be better. Let me ask you this. What should I give me some time management skills? What should I do to be on time more? Give me one tip.
Oh, that is a great one. What should you do to be on time more? Anything that you can do to prep ahead of time. Pick your clothes out before you have to actually go in your closet and figure out what you're going to wear. Understand what you need to do. Do you need to shave that day? You got to plan it out the morning before. I think little things like that, like what are you doing? What's your food plan for the day? Like, know all that stuff ahead of time so that you're not having to think about and make those decisions in real time. That's okay. My advice.
I think it's a really good one. That being said, if you guys have advice, give us your advice in the comments. Just go give us 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and give us your best review. Welcome. Every single recap, we give away something from the Influencer Closet. We have a giveaway right now. This review came in from Angel Jamie. Love listening to Jason's interviews and follow up with the Curious Canadian. I learned something from every episode. The one with Ramit Sethi helped me discover that I'm paying too much for my money management. 1% advisory fees plus 0.48% platform fee. Damn, that is way too much. My input on that episode, realtors aren't lenders. It's the lender. If a buyer is getting a mortgage, that discusses monthly payments with the client. In addition to that, property search platforms offer monthly payment calculators, which most people use. Don't be dissing realtors. We're here to help you reach your goals of selling, buying, and renting and investing. It's the lenders. So that's a good review. Angel Jamie, please shoot us your address, tradingsecrets@chaseantarctic.com. David, what else you got before we wrap?
Nothing much. Carly, from Lady Gaga to Bachelor in Paradise to touring with Nick Carter. I mean, talk about some life experiences there. Loving it.
I love it. Congrats to Carly on all of her detours and transitions and battles through adversity. Excited for what's next for Carly. Good luck on your tour, Carly. And thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss.